Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking on Billy Bones. A pound of Yankee. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
It is season 7, episode 20. Tonight I have the dulcet tones of Jonathan. Good evening, Jonathan. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm talking to you and I'm in my loft.
Is that what you're going to be called, Loft Man now?
You can call me Loft Man if you want.
Lofty.
Okay. I'm in my loft room. Lofty.
Lofty.
Like the old EastEnder.
And back. Good old EastEnder. It's Nigel. Where are you? And what are you doing?
I'm in my shed. Trying to keep warm. Because it is absolutely...
Yeah, it must be freezing out there.
I've got a heater next to me. I'm all right. It's warming up.
Do people come up to you and call you Shedman now?
It's that and other four little words. But yes, there's a few people have.
Does your wife call you Shedman in bed?
No, she uses other four little words.
Did you not, when you built your shed, your homage to West Ham, did you not build in heating?
I've got an oil heater that I really keep forgetting to put the timer clock on.
You need some technology. Anyway, unfortunately, no, George. Last week it was the trains. This week he's not feeling very well, so we want to send our get well soon to George. Hopefully he'll be back in the new year. But tonight we can talk about... we've had a couple of games. We've done quite well, boys. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I had noticed.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Arsenal. We played a game against Arsenal. Did we all go?
We did.
Yeah, I was there.
So, good. And you took a friend, didn't you, Shedman?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I forgot.
So, yeah. Before we start, why didn't you announce the winner of the More Than Just a Podcast Sit in the Gods competition was?
Paul Turner.
And you've got a confession to make.
Have I? What's that?
Yeah. It was a competition prize and you took some money off him.
No, he offered the money, to be fair. But
Did you take it though?
I took it and used it to buy a beer and a burger. Oh. So it got a round in, so
excellent. Yeah. Good evening, Paul, and yeah, thanks for keeping, although I was going to say thanks for keeping Nigel company, but he disappeared in the second half, I hear.
I think the rarefied air up the back got to him, all that altitude sickness. And
at half-time, he came and snuck in the lower tier.
Yes, he did.
Am I allowed to say that?
Well, the club don't know now. It's too late, isn't it? So, yes, he went and snuck in downstairs. I don't blame him, to be fair. So,
how did he find a seat?
Oh, it's amazing.
I don't know.
Every seat was taken, apparently.
Anyway, we went down the supporters club and had a few sherbets there. They had Long Live the Bowling exhibition there. Did you buy a picture or two, Nigel?
No, I bought a picture the other day in there. It's like an art thing about a bowling ground with a postcode on it, made by some geezer who was selling them. The wooden ones. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, is that the one? Yeah, the guy is doing them. He does them to order, doesn't he?
Well, no, this one he'd already done. So I just, because it had bowling ground on it, naturally I'm a sucker for that. I thought, oh, that'll look good in my shed. So, which it does. So, yeah, I bought one of them. I might have a look at that Joe Fordham, I think his name, isn't it? Or Bonafenti, I don't know. I think so. Long live the bowling book.
Yeah, he's a photographer. Yeah. Anyway, he was there. Anyway, let's talk about the football. I'm going to start with the stats and then go to John. West Ham only had 30% of possession against the Gooners, which meant that they enjoyed 70%. They had 22 shots, but only 3 on target. And the Hammers had 6 shots, none of them on target. John, discuss.
I thought that the percentages of the possession, sort of as I remember it, but that all said and done, it didn't really feel like we were going to get a good beating at any time, did we? We looked very solid. We defended very well. We had a couple of goes at them. I thought Arnautovic did a couple of nice bits in front of us, didn't he? A couple of twists and turns and had a decent game. And we could have nicked it right at the end, which I thought at the time, we sort of looking at it from where we were, we thought he might have been offside for some reason, but he wasn't, was he? He hit the crossbar.
He hit the crossbar, and they had one cleared off the line. So although, I don't know how, these stats are from the BBC, right? How come?
Fake news.
None of them were on target if one was cleared off the line.
It's fake news, mate. Don't believe the BBC.
Fake news. Who was your man of the match, John?
I seem to think it was Winston Reid. I can't really remember. Was it Winston Reid had a good game? I believe so.
Jack Wilshere. Oh, sorry, he ain't joined us yet. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's not coming.
And Arnautovic had a good game as well.
And Arnautovic, yeah. And
Adrian. Adrian, although... You know, he made some really important saves, I thought.
But I think it was either him or Ogbonna. I think it was one of the defenders, I remember thinking they'd done a really good game. But, yeah, I think they didn't Adrian get the sponsors man of the match?
Man of the match, yeah. He did.
I think
And I think Antonio got the Sky man of the match.
And, I seem to think on the night, I think it was like Ogbonna or Reid. I can't remember. It seems like a long time ago.
Antonio looked a bit tired again, didn't he, at the
end?
Yeah,
he did. He does.
But you said to me during the game?
Well,
he said that chap looks jolly tired, you said to me.
Did
in
I?
The second half.
In a Surrey kind of way.
In a Surrey kind of accent.
That's one of the things that I've sort of noticed with Moyes. He doesn't seem to take or make changes as quick as you'd like. You know, it looked to me like it was obviously needed to come off and needed a change there, and he sort of left him on a little bit too long.
Mm. One funny story I'm going to tell, and then I'm going to go to Nigel. When Chicharito, little P, hit the bar, Andy Carroll jumped up and jarred his back and injured himself. On the bench, he jumped up when he thought Chicharito had scored, and he jarred his back, and he couldn't. The next day, he went to training, and he couldn't run sideways. So he hasn't trained.
Was he a crab?
He's only just started training. I am telling you the truth. Because he wasn't in the Stoke. You probably know he wasn't in the Stoke. And I kept on asking people at the club, and they kept, and I thought, well, if there's a conspiracy, you know, is he sulking? Are they keeping him from playing so they can sell him in January? And I kept on going and go, well, I'm going to talk to the senior source. So we did. And the senior source said, he jarred his back jumping up because he thought West Ham had scored. You couldn't make it up.
There you go.
Nigel.
Hello.
What did you see from the gods? You must have had a really good... From where you are with your mate Paul, the DJ, in Metropolis, you must be able to see an aerial view of all the positioning play.
Yes, I can.
So what's been the difference? Why is this? Did we park the bus?
Yes.
How is Moyes' team being, you know, these are the same players. Why are we more defensive as a unit under Moyes?
Because he's putting every man in the box. So it crowds them out. So if they try and get a shot off, there's 10 defenders and a goalkeeper there to keep it out. We defend very deep.
Is it simple as that?
That's what it looks to me. That's what he did against Chelsea, which we covered. Which we nicked the win. You know, we only had one shot on target after we scored against Chelsea. And again, with Arsenal, no real attacking intent until the end. Keep it. Every time we lost a ball, people ran back into their position. You could see them running back. So, which you know, needs must. I'm not going to criticise when you're playing a team like Arsenal or Chelsea that are going to dominate possession and can pick you apart. It's all about the points. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to criticise Moyes for playing that way against the top teams. As long as he don't keep playing that way, then...
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the most inspiring game, was it? I mean, any of us would have taken the point beforehand. In fact, if anyone has said, you know, out of Chelsea and Arsenal, 4 points out of Chelsea and Arsenal, you would take it all day long. In fact, if anyone said 4 points out of Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal, you'd still take it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would...
It's just when you hit the crossbar, typical West Ham, when you're 0-0 and you hit the crossbar in the dying minutes... It's almost, just almost, you can taste it, but not quite.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's not just the 4 points against them. It's 4 points against them playing the way we'd been playing in the previous games.
Yeah.
That's the big turnaround. 4 points against those two teams is a Brucey bonus any time. But to do it off the back of Watford and Everton.
The Everton game particularly.
You know, what is the turnaround that's happened from the Everton game to the Man City game and then onwards is nothing short of miraculous, in my opinion.
Yep.
So who was your man in the match before we move on up north?
Well, I did say Jack Wilshere. I thought he had a really good game. Put himself in the shop window. There, people, if the West Ham people were looking.
West Ham man of the match.
The West Ham man of the match. I thought was Arnautovic, or Arnautovic, as I like to call him.
Well, do you know what? The BBC match, they still call him both Arnautovic and Arnautovic, don't they?
I only said it because that Muppet Jay off of YouTube calls him Arnautovic.
No. Match of the Day also called him, the commentator called him Arnautovic during the commentary and then perhaps Gary Lineker.
He got confused with how many goals we'd scored that game.
Well, good time to move on to Stoke. We played the Potters. I was going to say at the Britannia, but of course it's Bet365, is it, Stadium?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We took a good 3,200 up north. Game
how
was
many?
Delayed. 3,200.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right, go on.
And do you not think it was then?
I thought it was 2,800. I thought they'd give us 2,400 and then we then took the extra 400 to make it 2,800.
Whatever the maximum was. Everyone had to wait in the car park because the power failed and the backup didn't work. So an hour's later kickoff. And of course, you know, let's do the stats first. West Ham away game, 45% possession, meaning the Stoke enjoyed 55. Stoke actually had 17 shots, 0 on target. So Adrien with nothing to do. West Ham had 14 shots, 7 on target, so lots for them to do. Let's start with you, Nigel, this time. Let's start with a penalty decision. Lanzini goes down. What did you make of it? Obviously, he's been charged today. We all know that. We don't know if they're going to appeal it. What did you make of the whole...
Tom Daley Lanzini special, wasn't it?
It's a
Tom
what?
Daley special.
I've got you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My, it's all...
Was it a dive?
Oh, it's not so much a dive. I'll tell you what he did. Watch it. It's touch in the area. The ball goes to the left. Lanzini moves to the right. The player made no challenge. The player wrung his leg out, but he didn't put it into Lanzini. Lanzini moved into the leg and threw himself down. Now, for me, that's a dive. Take your West Ham claret and blue specs off and all this, our West Ham fans. That is a dive. And that's what it was. And that's why he will get the two-game ban and the West Ham will take it. They won't appeal it because when you look at it, you can see Lanzini touches the ball goes to left, Lanzini moves his body away from the ball to the right into the bloke's legs and was already going down before he hit his leg. So therefore, yeah, it's a dive.
Well, Graham Pohl is not a West Ham fan, I think you'd agree.
Well, I don't know. Yep. Yeah.
He knows a little bit about refereeing, I think, Nigel.
What, Mr. Three Yellow Cards? Yeah. All right, yeah, I'm sure he does.
All right, good point. He said, this is in the Daily Mail this morning, it's a bit of a dive, but not an outrageous dive, deserving an FA charge. I'm sorry if that doesn't make sense, but that's how hard it is to referee players such as Manuel Lanzini. Lanzini's legs crumble, as players do in the modern game. They will tell you it's to avoid injury. It's a hard call for the referee.
We know that's bullshit, right? We know that.
But why would Graham Pohl say that?
Well, because he's got to say something. If he comes out and says, he's got to say something different, isn't he? It's Graham Pohl. You know, that's what he does, isn't it? He's got to justify writing that column and getting paid money for it. Look at it. Forget that he's a West Ham player. Imagine he's a Spurs player and that was a West Ham player that made that tackle. And you tell me, you wouldn't be going, oh, look, you can see he's played the ball, it's gone away from him, and he's thrown himself in. That's what happened.
Well, David Moyes said it could be fatigue. Today, at his press conference, he said, I'm going to think about my reaction. I'm a bit surprised. The referee was 10 yards from it, nothing blocking his vision. Clear to see the defender goes for the ball and doesn't get it. We'll have to think about what we do. I'm the first one to say get rid of diving. That's why I'm so annoyed. I don't think anybody can be definitely sure it's a dive or not.
When you look at it from behind, the thing about it, I won't blame the ref because the ref gets one crack to look at it and he gets less than a second for it all to happen. For Moyes to come out and say it's fatigue is quite funny because it's 20 minutes into the game.
It was a 70-yard, he said. It's 70-yard running.
But it's 20 minutes into the game. He still had another, 500-600 yards of running around to do in the game or more. So to just go, oh, it was fatigue, you fell down. People don't just fall over. You know, boxers can go 12 rounds, punch the shit out of each other and don't go down. I'm sorry, that's what happened. We've got to face facts. Cheats should never prosper. And therefore, I'm not going to go as far as saying it's cheating. Well, I don't know. No, actually, I will say he's cheating because he's tried to gain a penalty for something that he wasn't fouled. When we were kids, we were always told, stay on your feet, stay on your feet. And now look at them. They're rolling around like pansies. Hmm. Modern day.
John, dive or no dive?
I thought originally that in real time, real speed, it was probably a penalty.
Yep.
And I think this is such a difficult one. You look at it in slow motion, you see the ball goes away from him and then you see the defender come in and his legs up and you see him sort of bend into where the bloke's legs are coming up. But as it goes forward, the bloke ends up with his arse right in his back.
Yeah.
That's all in slow motion, you see that. I think he lost the ball. The bloke was coming in and he sort of swerved to try to move away from him as such by bending away from him, but leaning into him sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think he was trying to avoid injury.
Oh, sorry, did you just say try to avoid him by leaning into him?
Well, he's sort of like trying to bend, but he's trying. See, if you're bending up, you're still upright and you've got someone coming in from the right-hand side. If you're trying to move your hips away from him, you're going to bend your top over to him and move your hips out. And I think he was trying to get out, thinking he was going to get hit. He got hit eventually. But I think if you see that in normal pace, full speed, like the ref did from behind, I think it was looked like a plain penalty.
Yeah, no, that's what I said.
So when you slow it down,
speed, it is a penalty. It looks a penalty. When you see it, bang, first thing.
Yeah.
But then when you see it again, slowed down from behind the referee's position, so the camera that was looking down the pitch, and you see what he does with the ball, you can see Lanzini's balked the penalty.
He loses the ball. He loses the ball.
But and then he buys the penalty.
But does he? He loses the ball because he loses control of it. And then he anticipates getting whacked in the arse by the bloke coming through him.
I don't.
And, you know,
he thought he was going to get whacked, so he dives into the player.
I personally think they should appeal it.
I mean, I agree. It looks like a dive. When you slow it frame by frame, it looks like a dive. But you take into consideration full speed, ball going away. If that was like an Arnautovic, but if it's like him or that type of player, like, fast, like light player like him, like that Gabriel Jesus, all them sort of players that run and are like him, like light on their feet, I just think it's a different thing. They will sort of try and get out of the way of getting smacked.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a real difficult one for them to come out and say, right, bang, definite dive, too much ban.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised because all three people have got to say yes, haven't they? There's a three-man ball.
Well, I think they should appeal. They've got till 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, if they appeal and it gets rescinded, do they get more than two matches?
Yeah, there's a chance of that. If they think it's a needless appeal, then you can. So the problem is at the moment, if you appeal, then you'll be allowed to pay tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And therefore, the ban will be two Premier League games. If he takes the ban now, he could have been rested anyway, so he'd be banned for Arsenal tomorrow and only miss out on Newcastle.
Yeah.
So they might take a tactical decide not to do it because
of that.
Otherwise,
yeah. But it does, like I say, you slow it down, it looks like a dive. But I think it looked in context of it actually in full pace.
Well, I'm following Graham Pohl. Okay, let's go back to Nigel. After the game, they sort of came back into it a little bit. They never really gave up, even after the first goal. Let's talk about Arnautovic as well. You know, at one point, I thought he was never going to score. I mean, he did everything, but they were on his back the whole game. He played a really good game. He just couldn't finish, Nigel.
he had an outstanding game for me. He was obviously up for it, and it was good to see. And perhaps he's becoming a cult figure instead of something else that rhymes with cult at the club, because of he's now showing us why we spent £24 million on him. He was so... Perhaps Moyes has discovered that, because he's playing him up front, where we signed him as a winger, and he's showed in... What's he played up front? Three games now, the Man City game, the Chelsea game, the Arsenal game, and Stoke. He scored against Chelsea, scored against Arsenal, and it was a fraction offside. He scored against Stoke. I mean, he hit the bar twice. Their keeper pulled off a save on one. He hit the side netting on another. He was just everywhere, wasn't he, to be fair? One of the best performances individually this season by a West Ham player. So...
Yeah, did he just raise his game for Stoke?
He got a lot of grief, didn't he?
He celebrated that. I mean, I think what West Ham fans loved, I mean, the way he slid on his knees and celebrated the goal, he crossed his arms, he tapped the badge.
Well, yeah, but look, they all do. You know, this is the thing. I don't buy into any of that tapping the badge and all that. That's to wind the fans up. I like that he give it to, you know, the Stoke fans give it to him and he give it back. What did I expect? At the end of the day, you know, we only did the same to Paul Ince and the Jermaine Defoe, so that was going to happen.
And the Lampards.
Yeah.
We
get it shut down our throats all the time, don't we?
Yeah. He came off of a calf strain.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes said, "You fucking ungrateful fucker," as most people could see. On the, if you can lip read, it's funny that Sky, everybody else sort of blurred that out with BBC Match of the Day just showed it. Should he be on an FA charge himself?
Well, I'm out of it.
Mark Hughes? For swearing, bringing the game in disrepute.
Come on.
If it was a player doing that, he would get a misconduct charge. You don't think managers should get a misconduct charge?
No.
you know, well, what's the difference?
It's a man's game.
Carton Cole man's game. Saying something on Twitter, right? And well, someone that, swearing yeah, a million viewers.
What Carlton Cole done on Twitter was the joke about the immigration outside the stadium, yeah, Wembley. It was a joke, yeah? Now, he shouldn't have been up on an FA charge. Just because that was wrong don't mean that we then have to go and have a go at Mark Hughes. If that was the other way round, if Paul Ince was walking off the pitch, yeah, and Billy Bonds had called him an ungrateful fucker or whatever, we'd have all been cheering Billy Bonds to high heaven for doing it. Yes.
But you know what? If you swear at a fourth official or if you swear at a referee, it is a misconduct charge.
Last time I looked, Arnautović weren't a fourth official or referee.
He's not. But what's the difference? All right. So it's a non-story.
Well, look, footballers swear at each other. We can see it. You know, we know that's what goes on.
Anyway, let's talk about the other two goals. So Arnautović took his goal really well. I thought that was a really good goal. And Sacco obviously took his goal. What did you think of Sacco coming on? We've talked about Arnautović with his 1-2. Sacco, should he stay in January?
It's up to him, isn't it? Realistically, that's what it seems to me. I would like to see him stay because I think he is a goal scorer. If you look at the games played to goal scored ratio, he seems to be doing really well in the last 3 years because he ain't played many games, but he's still got about 4 or 5 goals. I think last season, didn't he come back against Man United and scored away in a 1-1 draw?
Yeah.
So
can I tell you a secret?
Go on.
You can't tell anyone else.
I won't tell.
Circle of Trust. Yeah. He's got a long-term back problem.
Oh, was he?
So the club want to sell him in January, but don't tell anyone else The club want to sell him in January before anyone else works. He's got a back problem.
Right. What a thing to say, Sean. What are you trying to do?
He needs to be careful scoring goals then, doesn't he? Because after what happened to Andy Carroll with his back.
But hang on. Lucky enough, the French don't listen to this because they want to sell him with a French club because the French don't do very good medicals, apparently. And therefore, we're gonna try and send him to a French club. And therefore, their weak racist medicals, we'll be able to slip one through.
Slip one through.
Yeah. But don't. That's completely off the record, okay, guys?
All right, we'll cut this bit out. Don't put it in now.
You see, some things you say, you really should engage our brain, Sean, before you.
No. We've run this.
No one listens, and it's only two idiots in New Zealand while they're minding their sheep.
Well, then people come up to you and go, I'm in my shit.
All right, so there's more than
that. Anyway, John, your view of the Stoke game. You watched the game, didn't you?
I did watch the game, yes.
Was it one of the best performances you've seen all season?
It really was, Sean. It was best game ever. It was just so West Ham.
We could have won 9-0. Come on, Arnautović, we could have won 9-0.
Arnautović did have a good few goes, didn't he? And he did it at the bar, and
he could have scored 5 himself, right?
But he never did he? Until. Until he got his goal. But up until then, they were pushing as well. And you were expecting they're going to score here. But then as they were trying to push more, they left more space behind and we got in. And 3 goals well deserved. I thought Hernandez looked pretty good when he came on. I thought Sacco looked busy up front. He had his little back heel. Nearly controlled that and scored earlier on to that. And
Is Hernandez a Moyes player, though? Does he run enough? Fit in with a Moyes team, though?
I don't know. There's history there. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting what happens in January. It really is.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, that's a great link to our next bit, which is, was Operation Moyes right and was John wrong describe David Moyes as unaspiring? Should we extend this contract?
Hold on a minute. You said earlier about the Arsenal game, that was a pretty uninspiring game. You actually used
that. I'm just repeating back, right? I was behind Operation Moyes to point out his better points. Nigel said he was the best manager West Ham's ever appointed in recent times. And you went, I'm completely uninspired by disappointment.
No, I agree with what Nigel said. On paper, he's the best manager that these people, our board, have ever employed. I agree with that. But it didn't mean that he was going to be the Moisiah, as he's being called now, and he's turned this around the way he has. But so, your Operation Moyes wasn't your doing. Your Operation Moyes was as in commanded by your paymasters. So you and everyone else joined in that operation. It's nothing to do with your opinion. You probably didn't even realise who he was, Sean, to be honest.
That's not true, actually, because I did my own research. And I'll be honest with you. When I first heard David Moyes, I thought, but I did my research.
I'll tell you what you thought. You thought, I wonder what the fans think. Would they prefer Bilic or David Moyes? Oh, no, let's have a poll. Oh, yes. And what happened with that poll?
Oh, in a bit.
Voiced by their own petard, I think.
Yeah, the powers that be were happy with that poll.
Yes.
So you can't, you just can't give us that as a...
No, I did my own research, and I thought, well, actually, this guy, if we're getting Everton, and I said this at the time, if we're getting Everton Moyes, let's give this guy a chance.
Did you see what he did at Sunderland, Sean? Did you take any notice?
I said at the time, and I repeat it again, at Sunderland, he wasn't given his own staff. He wasn't given any money to spend. He was given a poison chalice.
I think he finally did spend some money there.
He should never have taken the job. He should never have been taken the job, and he admits that now. So anyway, that's water under the bridge.
Yeah, water under the bridge on that.
Should we? He's got a 2.5-year contract with a 6-month break clause, as I keep on telling you. Should we fulfil his contract, John? Is he a long-term option?
Let's just see where we end up after the 6 months, Sean. Let's see how well planned and organised this club is by these wonderful board that you love so much, and let's see who they already had lined up for next season, because they obviously had someone.
I haven't got anyone.
Oh, come on, they must have done. They knew the Brilliant was coming out of contract in the summer anyway. They must have organised someone to come in the summer.
No, I haven't.
They must have done, Sean.
It's a 2.5-year contract with a 6-month break clause.
Well, let's wait and see at the end of the season where we end up.
Nigel.
Yes.
Moyes. Too early to say, or I mean, let's praise Moyes a little bit. He's got them organised. He's got them organised. He's got them.
Surely, I'm not criticising him. He's done a great job in the last 3-4 games. He's done as a marked improvement. You can't say there ain't.
All right, let's say in 4 games' time they offer him. They say, actually, we want you to stay for another 2 years. Sign up now.
We've got him on a 2.5-year contract.
We have, but at the moment, either side can walk away in 4 months' time, 5 months' time.
Well, this is the thing I've thought. They give him this 2.5-year contract with a 6-month break. If we were to go down, the damage would have been done early on, in a way Moyes could possibly say, like Benitez did with Newcastle, that it was out of my hands a bit and I want to stay. Would Moyes not be a good manager to have in the Championship? So imagine we went down. Would David Moyes not be a good manager to have in a championship?
Yeah, I think he would.
Right, so why on earth did we give him this 6-month break contract? Because if we'd have gone down, we'd have been better off keeping him.
Well, maybe he asked for it as well.
That's cool. I find that odd. That was a panic
I'm just saying he may have done. All I want to tell you, and I'm not beating up John, but I am. John said, why have we given him a 6-month contract? The players know that. They won't play for him. He won't command any respect, and he will see it as a short-term job.
Yeah, and it looked like I was completely right at the first 2 games, wasn't it?
Well, come on.
No, look how it started out. It was ridiculous.
Look how they've changed since Bilic. And even James Collins came out on video after Stoke and said, well, obviously, the manager has a massive effect. We're running now. We're defending better.
Was that on West Ham TV?
He said it on the post-match interview.
On West Ham United TV. So the press officer didn't nudge
him.
Go on, Jim, your turn, son. Speak up for Moyes. Make sure you blame Bilic because we've still not settled
with
him yet.
Are you saying the Ginger Pele is part of Operation Moyes?
You know how it works. They're all told, isn't it? Even on their Twitter accounts, they're like, text, can you tweet this out for us, lads? we need to big him up a bit. Now, I'm not going to knock Moyes or whatever, because you know I thought he was a good enough appointment for West Ham as we are. I can understand why people say it's uninspiring, because it's all to do with everything that what the ambition of the owners is not matched by the appointments of the owners. So in a way, they get the lies, everything thrown at them, so they've asked for it. But if you, for me, I looked at it as looked at where West Ham are as a club and what they are as a club, and I thought Moyes is actually could be a good fit for us. Hence why I thought it'd be good enough as well if we went down to keep to get us back up. So why give him that six-month break?
Mm. He's a disciplinarian, because I've been told he won't put up with leaks. He doesn't want, if he finds out the team's gone out before ahead of time, which it has in the past, and Bilic was relaxed about, he gets the right hump.
He won't like ex-WHO employee then, will he?
No, because ex has been told, and ex has not been doing it until like 1:30, which is the time it gets changed between the teams.
You tell us.
We get it about 2 hours before. So, you know, I think it's good. You know, he doesn't put up with people being late in the for training as Bilic used to. He's not their friend. You know, he doesn't try to be their friend. And certainly, talking to the press people, I understand he's a lot. You know, he doesn't put up.
Look,
he
said today, John, look,
press conference.
John,
yeah,
no one's standing here, sitting here, saying in their sheds and their lofts or whatever. No one's sat here saying, "Let's get rid of
Moyes.
We've got Moyes. He's doing a good job. Why are you still trying to sell him to us? He's doing all right. Let's just see where he ends up. Don't
get let's get it right. Operation Moyes was all about discrediting Bilic. So let's get this right. Ooh. That's what it was about. And that's why it was distasteful. Not because it was there to praise Moyes.
But it was also a level of panic against the actual furore that came out when everyone said Moyes is coming in, and everyone was like, so this is our ambition. This is our Champions League in 7 years.
Yeah.
This is everything. All these things, like you said, came back at them. And it was like a turning point where everyone said, you know what? Don't worry about sacking the manager. Sack the board. Because this is just ridiculous.
Well, that's quieting down in of late. Let's talk about league position. I think it has. We'll come back to this in a minute. We're 15th in the league. Results went our way over the weekend. With the wind in the right direction, we could be ninth, top 10 by the 3rd of January. As you know, we're playing, after we play Arsenal tomorrow in the Cup, we've got Newcastle at home. We've got who are in the relegation zone now. We've got then Bournemouth, who are 17th. They've dropped just one above the relegation zone. And then we've got West Brom at home, who are obviously second from bottom. So we've got three very, very winnable games. We could get back-to-back wins, four back-to-back wins, you know. I know that's surprising, but we could. I'm going to ask you a little bit of prediction, right? And I know that we've got this rose-tinted sort of tint glasses at the moment. But, Nigel, where can we finish based on this month? Where can we finish?
In the league?
In the league.
After 38 games? Right, we can finish between 8th and 20th.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, you're not convinced we're out of the woods yet, obviously.
We're 2 points off the relegation spot if we lose to Newcastle.
Yeah, and we are 1 point off 11.
Yeah, so... therefore,
no, but according to Sean, yesterday was a plan. There was a plan in that yesterday. Yeah. Everyone else lost.
Listen, and this is why the Premier League is the best in Europe or the world, because any team can beat any team. So West Brom.
So how many points? All right, next three games. That's next three league games. You've said you've obviously given me a completely
6 points
on the fence. 6 points out on the next three. John, where do you think we can finish this without giving us a vague 8th to 20th? Where do you think we can finish this season?
Vague, it's realistic.
I'll be surprised if we finish in the top half, to be honest with you. So,
do you think we get relegated?
There's still a possibility we could get relegated, yeah.
Really?
No, I don't think
after looking at Stoke and Swansea and people like, well, why did you say 20th?
Because you asked me where we can finish.
No, I said, where do you think we will finish?
Well, personally, we'll finish between 12th and 14th.
Okay, all right.
But if we have these three, if we win these three, four games that you just said we're going to win back-to-back, then we ain't getting relegated, are we? But let's... you know, this game against Stoke, for all you can say about the dive, that dive set us up.
Yeah.
That dive.
The early goal helps, yeah.
Early goal and everything.
Luke's gone. Let me put you on the spot, right? How many points are we going to earn from the next three league games? Where are we going to finish, John?
Next three league games, let's go better than, let's go 7 points. And I'll say about 14th, 15th.
Okay. I say all 9 points we're going to earn and we're going to finish 10th by the end of the season, right in the middle. We'll see. We'll see who's right. I think it's a turning point and there's enough rubbish in this division and I think we're reinforcing January, but we'll see. I might be wrong.
I think January's going to be massive this season. There's so many teams... Like he's saying, I was just saying about everyone within whatever 3 points of whatever to get relegated. So many teams are going to be buying in January, trying to get ourselves out of this.
Funny thing is, I don't think we're under pressure now to spend. If he gets points against Newcastle, say he beats Newcastle and Bournemouth, I think it lessens the pressure. We know we only get rubbish in January. You don't get value for money, sorry, I should say. You don't get value for money. We've seen the tighter signings we've got in January's in the past. So if we do beat Newcastle and Bournemouth, I would be saying, let's just wait and see what happens. Don't dive in too early because the need's not there now. Save your money.
You can get, they have got, I mean, they don't get Barr and people like that in January, but you know, you'd like to think that if they are going to do something, like we've said before, let's hope we've got it all ready to go.
I'll play your bar and I'll raise you, Mido.
Well, you asked earlier whether we were interested in our... did you ask?
I'll deal with that. In interested in who?
In the Bournemouth guy. What's his name?
Arter. Yeah.
I mean, you're uninspired by... he is on the target list, among a lot.
I mean,
that's uninspiring to you.
Well, Harry Arter, to me, is another Snodgrass, you know. It's just...
could Snodgrass come back? A Scottish connection.
I'd have him back. Under Moyes, see what he can do.
Was it you that said that to me, Nigel?
I just said it, didn't I?
No, but you said it before.
Possibly, yeah. I would have him back to see what he can do under Moyes.
The chairman weren't best impressed with him, or the kids.
Well, that's the only thing now. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So. Right. Anyway, we move on. This one I put on the running order just for our friendship, man. Someone did a poll. I think it might have been next West Ham employee. Yeah. He said, poll, win the Premier League and get relegated, or stay, guaranteed stay in the Premier League for the next 10 years. John?
Win the Premier League, take the relegation.
I answered the same. Nigel?
I answered the same. And I got a bit of stick because I actually put, because when you click on, you make your answer, and then it tells you what the running was. And it was something like nearly 70% were staying in the Premier League.
I know.
And I actually had a go at the 70% and said, you know, yeah, if you're, you know, basically against modern day football fans, I'll put a hashtag, if that is West Ham fans' outlook, then please don't follow me, because you are lost to football if that is what you think.
Yeah.
And it shocks me.
Well,
I was expecting it to run away with, let's win the Premier League, you know. I'd take the League Cup and go down for 10 years, you know.
Plastic fans.
I'd take the FA Cup.
It's a trophy, it's a day out. Football's all about trophy and glory.
Just imagine the open top bus going through.
Mate, you say it's a day out, but you'd be the only one who got a ticket.
Well,
this is it. I mean, this is the problem. Wouldn't we ever be able to get a ticket? Yeah.
I'll let you know what it was like.
Might have to use my contacts.
Well, there is always that, yeah. So, no, that's, yeah. I mean, no, I would. I would take the FA Cup, even the League Cup. The football, the reason why we're football fans, this is what I say to people. Why are you a football fan? Are you a football fan just to see Premier League players? Because what? No, we're football fans for the glory. Glory's about trophies.
Well, yeah, but you know, there's a lot of non-West Ham people now going in. Have you seen the picture of the Millwall fan?
Listen, who's to say that never happened at the bowling? You know, of course that happened. We used to have...
He did, to be fair, he lifted up his coat like he's discreetly showing it, even though no one's there. Apparently it was the Arsenal game.
Well,
and apparently there's a Charlton fan... Who's a chef as well.
There was a chef there who went for a walkabout with a trolley and put his Charlton coat on. So
they're told not to wear other... Yeah. All employees are told. I'm sure West Ham have done it other grounds as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time for this. Yes, it is. Earlier today, Nigel asked, recording around 8 tonight, question for you, if Nigel was saying it. If winning the trophy meant being relegated, would you still want to win a trophy, or continued Premier League status your priority? Priority.
Are you taking the piss out of my accent?
Yeah. Anytime's...
Yeah, he is.
What does that mean? Any times are good at the moment, so let us know if you're happy or anything special for Xmas you'd like from West Ham. Sergei Noshish, I think that's how you pronounce it.
I don't think it is, funny enough.
Well, haven't got George here tonight. If by trophy you mean Champions League, then yes. Sorry, but Milk Cup is a joke in comparison to Premier League status. P.S. Pounce for pronouncing my name differently each time. No worry, Sergey. staying in the Premiership, certainly. I think it's the Premier League. Better football again this week, getting better and better. For Christmas, I'd like to see Moyes backed in the January transfer window and in made permanent, ideally keeping Oxford too. Alexandra McFarlane says, gents, another informative show last week. You cover so many topics. For me, it's what stands out about this show. Good to hear John back. Why have you been away, John?
I was. I missed one, didn't I?
Yeah. It will be satisfying to beat Arsenal tomorrow evening. However, I don't feel it will be a disaster to concentrate on our Premier League position. In reading tonight's Evening Standard, it seems we've got ever-increasing injury list. It might be worth resting some players for the league matches to come. Another big up to David Moyes and his staff. Clearly, they have stopped the rot. I hope they can keep it going. The players look fit and have the right direction on the pitch. They're working for each other. I'm disappointed in the disciplinary committee charging Lanzini with diving. Fair enough, he went down, but the Stoke lad dived in and would have taken Manuel out if he hadn't jumped. We're talking split seconds here. Claret and blue Christmas to you all. Up the Hammers. Phil Walker says, any relation to Paul? I would rather stay in the top division.
Who's Paul Walker?
Unfortunately, I said Phil Walker. Yeah. Paul Walker is your mate, isn't he?
Turner.
To Paul Turner, you're right. You know me and neighbours.
Yeah.
Dave. I would rather stay in the top division, but fortunately, they're not mutually exclusive. Looking forward to going to the Emirates tomorrow. Predictions for me are Arsenal 1, West Ham 2 tomorrow night, and West Ham 2, Newcastle 1 on Saturday. I don't think Lanzini's dive was particularly obvious enough for the FA to charge. After all, there was contact, even if it occurred after the dive had begun. What are your thoughts? Well, I think we've already covered them. Gary Prince says, stupid question. Any real fan would like a trophy instead of finish 17th? Cup quarter-final should never be seen as distraction tomorrow night and a great chance of progression and build momentum on recent matches. Can't see why a footballer can't give everything on a Tuesday night and still be okay on Saturday afternoon. There should be no prioritisation. Do you agree with that, Ed?
About the stupid question bit? I agreed with him until I saw the results where he said actually more people would rather take Premier League football. So he's probably right. It is a stupid question, but then it's stupid people who are answering it. Go on.
Yeah. Nick Harvey says, continued status in the Premier League is more important in my view than winning a trophy this year. Fear that we wouldn't come back straight away and the soulless bow in the Championship wouldn't be fun at all. Moyes looks that he may prove me wrong. Not a fan at all, but it looks like he's starting to get the team organised. He will not just be keeping clean sheets, but we can score enough against the teams around us. Time will tell. I'd like 9 points from Newcastle, Bournemouth and West Brom and Spurs as my Christmas prezi. And if Lady Brady decides to concentrate on politics in the UAE, yeah, I'll be even happier. Man after your own heart.
Mate, if Brady goes into politics, I'm joining the Labour Party. Go on.
Hey. Ben Ashenfold says, what's the situation with Sacco now? Does he want to stay now Bilic is gone? If Carroll is off, he must stay until the end of the season at least. Well, I think we've covered the Sacco situation, but don't tell anyone. And finally, on Facebook, Keith Reed says, happy Christmas to all on the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Keith. Twitter, few of them, just a couple, said, will Lanzini face a ban for this dive? Yes, I think he will. I actually think there was some contact, but it came after he began to go down. And Sarif the Bastard says, Christ, we could end up doing a Portsmouth. Relegation is the dangerous gamble to take, and it's never as simple as going back up again.
But I'll take that. Wigan. I'll take Portsmouth. I would take what they've done for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I would.
And to have your
right, well,
club.
Yeah.
Do
you know what? At the moment, let's just have a little podcast team meeting, house meeting. Next Monday is Christmas. Does any of you want to record on Christmas Day?
No.
So we won't be recording next week, I don't think, realistically, will we?
I mean, I'm up for after Boxing Day.
I'm off. Yeah. I'm off for the whole week, so.
So maybe after Boxing Day, which the reason I ask is we're going to do predictions. Obviously, we've got Arsenal in the quarterfinals and the Cup tomorrow. Newcastle on the 23rd. I don't think we're going to record before Bournemouth. So we'll cover Bournemouth as well. West Brom is on the 2nd. For giggles, let's do all four. So let's start with you, Nigel. Arsenal, Newcastle Bournemouth, West Brom. Give us your predictions.
Arsenal in the cup will go to penalties. I wouldn't like to say how we get on.
Late night.
Yes.
And then? 70% late night.
75%, I think I said. Newcastle, I think we'll win. Bournemouth, I think we'll lose. West Brom, I think we'll win.
Okay. John. We like scores, by the way, but I'll let you off since there was
four. Can I just point out, in the last two predictions, I was good as gold. I got 0-0 Arsenal.
Well, then even more so.
No, I predicted 2-1.
More so, give me a prediction. Go on.
Newcastle 2-0. Right, Bournemouth will lose 1-0. West Brom will win 3-0. There you go. Done.
Okay. John.
I'll tell you that. Arsenal, we will... We'll lose, I think. Arsenal, we're going to lose 2-1. Newcastle, we're going to win 2-0. Bournemouth will be a draw. And West Brom, we will win 1-0.
Okay. I'm going to go for Arsenal in the Cup 1-0, right at the end, in extra time, before penalties, save us from penalties. Newcastle, I think we will win 2-0. And Bournemouth away, the Cherries. I think we'll pluck their cherry and win 3-0. And finally, we're going to add to the Baggies' bad run and win 4-0 against the West Brom. Do you see what I've done there? 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Just so we can easily remember it.
Good. Well done.
Hip-hop.
Right, well,
you're lucky, George. Oh, isn't
dear,
it?
We could have slaughtered you, innit? I've just thought of that. It just come to
what's
me.
That? About what's that?
Your little hippity hop. I like the hippity
hop.
What is wrong with hip hop? You were having a go at me because I said when I was younger, I DJ'd an Ibiza and you laughed.
Oh, no, I did. It was even funnier when you told me what happened.
I laughed because I was there, and, and the way you sort of said I'd DJ in Ibiza was just with your hip hop.
Yeah. So did you DJ Cream? Did you? Did you DJ? You know the top clubs?
Well, no.
Where did you DJ?
The Donald Ducks.
Yeah. Sid's Bar.
Was it called Donald Ducks?
No, it was Popeyes, wasn't it?
Popeyes. You're right. It was called Popeyes. It was a club called Popeyes.
It wasn't a club. It was a bar.
No, it was a club. It opened until like 4 o'clock in the morning. No, it was a bit of a club. It had a disco.
It wasn't.
And we had the flat above.
And why did I ask you to do it, Sean?
Because we were on holiday, right? And their DJ left and went back home. And they asked some...
And they shouted out, anybody in the crowd's a DJ?
No, they didn't actually say that. We got talking to the barmaid, which John had chatted up. And,
did you happen to have your records with you?
No, he left all his records there, which was really lucky. Why would you take all your vinyl?
I was just wondering, like, if just on some off chance,
No, he'd gone back to England and left his whole vinyl collection there. Do you remember that, John?
Yeah, pretty much.
What was the best song of the night then? Come on.
Oh, God, now you're talking. This is the 80s,
I think it was heavily in the way of Spandau Ballet and Prince going around at the time, mate. Very much. It was,
We had a lot of wet drinking competitions, wet T-shirt competitions as well.
Did you win that as well, Sean?
No, but...
He was a lot younger there, more athletic. Right, yeah.
And I'll send you a picture.
What, have you in a wet T-shirt?
DJing in Ibiza. In fact, I'm going to put a picture up on the Facebook group.
No, don't put it up on the Facebook group.
Of me and John in Ibiza DJ.
Sean. Anyway.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for.
Don't forget my video.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. So this is your plug, Chevman. Tell everyone about your video, and then we're going to do a Christmas message.
So 5 years ago, I wrote in Over Land and Sea, a piss take of David Gold being Scrooge and getting visited by three ghosts. And then in it, I put down what I thought the future of club would be like. And then Gonzo from Amos Chat had a read of it 5 years later and realised how prophetic I'd been. So we got together with Canning Town Len, the Twitter cartoon character.
Ooh, is he real?
Of course he's real.
Oh, okay. Does he listen to this podcast?
Ooh, I expect so, yeah. So, fellow Canon Town Illumini.
How will he understand Surrey?
I'll translate for him, don't worry.
Yeah. All right.
So, okay. Oh, he just listens to me, so he understands. Yeah. So he will understand, hopefully.
So it's a nine-minute video.
It's a nine-minute video. So
and you'll put the link up on the Facebook group,
yeah? The link up on the Facebook group, yeah. So it's a nine-minute video with a little funny bit at the end that Canon Town then added that I didn't write, with David Gold singing a song. And it just basically tells a Christmas carol, a West Ham United Christmas carol, to chill our hearts.
That's very good.
www.facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast with two O's, and you will find Nigel's work.
Well, it's not my work. I've just wrote it.
He's designed to upset the board.
Well, it's not upset the board, is it? You know, I've just dreamed. I listened to David Gold at an SAB meeting talk about, basically, quickly, he was in an SAB meeting. I think he lifted up the blinds on the window and said, I can look over at my house, 442 Green Street, that's the past.
I was there.
I can stand here now, today we're in the present. If you look over there, you can see the Olympic Stadium being built. And that's how...
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and I remember turning to the bloke next to me saying, all we need is Jacob Marley to appear. And that is literally where I got the idea from, literally listening to him and saying to that bloke, oh, Jacob Marley's going to pop up in a minute. And I went home and I thought I had to write an article for Overland and Sea. And I thought, well, it's Christmas. Let's do a Christmas Scrooge. David Gold. Job
Excellent.
Done.
Excellent. Right, before we say our Christmas message, I've been asked this by a number of people. What's happened to your bloody interviews? Your celebrity interviews. What's happened? They've all dried up.
They don't want to talk to me. But they don't. They don't pick the phone up.
We've given you lots of numbers. You just right. We're gonna next year. New Year's resolution. Let's get some ex players, managers, etc.
I'll tell you what I will do as well. I'm going to try a couple of fan ones. And we'll see how well we can do the famous people as well. But I'm going to try and do some fan ones, get some fan stories, interviews. So,
okay. All right. Anyway, we're coming up to an hour. I'm going to say Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Hope you have a tremendous Hammers New Year too. And we'll be back, hopefully. We might be back just between Christmas and New Year. Don't know. Don't hold us to it. But we'll be speaking to you soon. Anything to say, John, to the listeners?
Merry Christmas to everyone and a Happy New Year.
And we'll leave the last word with Shep.
I hope everyone gets what they want.
Gets it. Right. I have been Sean. Nigel
Toasted.
Has been. And John has been.
In me loft.
And George has not been here,
not
so
been well.
Get well soon.
Get well soon, George.
Come on, you irons!
Sorry, irons.
More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.